Happy to be. What's the matter? Y'all happy to be in the house of the Lord today? Hey, look, you made it. You made it, man. The devil tried to kill you all week, and he lost again. Amen. We come to praise the Lord today. He's worthy of all praise. Amen. Somebody probably should have a praise shut up inside of them. You should have a praise that can't be contained today, because we made it. We serve Him. He's awesome. He's the beginning of it all. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you just remain for the standing of the reading of the word this morning, as we get into the scripture this morning, it's exciting to be here. I don't know who's excited more, me or you, but it's going to be probably going to be me, amen. But I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning, the title of the message is He's waiting for us to yield. He's waiting for us to yield. He wants us to yield to be healed today. And in scripture this morning, I just want to share this with you. I got a word that shut up inside of me this morning. And Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Now, as they went out of Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the road. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." So Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion, and he touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Father, I just ask and pray this morning that we, the congregation, take this very word. The two blind men received their sight, and God, today, we know it's time for our eyes to be opened, God. We have fought the fight. God, we've kept it. We've stayed in this race over and over again. But God, we know one thing. We was blind, but now we see. And God, we know that you've had mercy on each and every one of us. And Father, we thank you for that. God, I know that the enemy wants to hush us. The enemy doesn't want us to cry out to you. And the enemy doesn't want us to be heard. But we come against the enemy today in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the anointing. God, we thank you for the presence. God, we thank you for the teaching of the Spirit today. Father, we would ask today that, God, we would still our spirits, Father, and allow you to speak to us. God, allow you to convict us. God, allow you to be the one that's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Father, God, that your word will not come back void. Father, we now position ourselves, unveil our eyes, God, and unplug our ears, that we can receive a word from you today. God, that we can feel your presence and know that, God, with you all things are possible. God, when we ask for mercy, God, you extend it. And so today, God, allow this word to go out and allow it not to come back void. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen. Praise God. Be seated if you can. So, when you're looking at this scripture, and we're going to unpack this scripture here in just a few minutes, but to really just kind of just launch out of this, I want us to kind of get into the mind frame, or frame, in the sense that we got to pay attention to the tension, okay? We got to pay attention to the tension because we need to be yielded to be healed, and I want to share that with you here in just a few minutes, because when we read this scripture, we begin to understand that these two blind men, they needed something. They needed something from God. And what they was... I mean, everything around them was trying to discourage them, wasn't it? But at the same time, we got to lean into our healing. We got to lean into what God has for us and not be distracted. In verse 29, we see that there is a great multitude in this time that's following Jesus. It would be easy for the enemy to convince us And it's what he likes to do, that we're insignificant, if you will, compared to everyone else, that our problems are not all that important, that God really don't care what you're going through today. So often that's what the enemy wants to convince you and I of. But verse 30 tells us about these two blind men. I like that there are two blind men in this text, and it's not found in the other Gospels. But I like these two blind men in this text because one blind man might say to someone else that they're all alone and that you're the only one that has the problem, and maybe you're the only one even really truly going through anything. So often that's what the enemy wants to convince us of, is we're in it alone. We can't win it. We're by ourselves. He begins to lie. He begins to undermine. He begins to allow us to buy into the bait of Satan that says we're not healed or we're not delivered or we're not receiving, when it's nothing but a falsity of the enemy. But notice that these are two people, and they both have identical problems. This, to me, is exciting, because so often I think what happens is we think we're the only one with a problem, and nobody has another problem like this but me. And so what the enemy does is segregate us and separate us and try to annihilate us. But if we begin to understand that we're in the same boat together, and that no matter what the enemy says, he's a liar. He doesn't have anything. And it's nice to see that when we look at the scripture here, there are two guys here that have the same problem. And to know that what they're asking for is mercy. And doesn't God always extend the hand of mercy? Doesn't he, though? Sometimes we may feel like we are the only one who has a certain problem in our lives. Have you ever felt like that? Uh-huh. Ain't nobody got that problem. You're the only weirdo that's got it, right? Amen. Well, that's the truth. That's how we feel, and that's what we think the enemy wants to do to us, is really segregate our thinking and separate us from the Spirit of a living God. But that's not who we are. We are one in Christ, and we win in Christ. You might be surprised to find out that you're not alone. I think that's important to realize, because being all alone is a very, very lonely place to be, especially when you are the one that's suffering. I share that to share this, is that when we feel alone like that, that's when the enemy begins to attack our minds and our spirits. And I think that's what the enemy likes to do, is to think that you can't and you won't and you never will. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by," it says, "they cried out." I want you to hear that. Everybody say, "cried out." They said, they cried out saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." The scripture here says that they cried out. Now, this cried out is important. It's very important to me. And now there have been some times in my life when I've really had to cry out. And I've cried out a few times in my life, not just once or twice. It wasn't always because I was in some kind of physical pain necessarily, but of all the people that were there that day, it just amazes me when you look at it. There's a lot of people. It says there's a lot following him, but I don't know. To me, it seems peculiar when you read the scripture. These two people were the ones crying out. So those who had the biggest need of the day, everybody else is trying to hush them and quiet them and to get them not to call out for a healing. But they knew that they needed a touch from God. You hear me this morning? We know that we need a touch from God. It just amazes me that those are the only two out of that crowd that would cry out to Jesus. It makes me wonder what all had going on in their lives to get them to the point that they was really willing to finally cry out. This reminds me of me. What gets me to a place where I start realizing my need for Christ? What gets me to the point where I quit worrying about what everybody else says, thinks, or does, and I begin to cry out to Christ? And I begin to tell him, "God, I might have steered left or I might have steered right. God, I might be thinking wrong, but what I want, God, is you. And God, what I need is you." We don't usually, or naturally anyways, or easily cry out to God. It's not a natural thing for us to cry out to God. And it makes you wonder why. Why wouldn't it be natural for us to cry out to God? Generally, we try to take care of the problem ourselves because we're self-sufficient and we don't want to show any weakness, so we just can try to take care of it. And if we can take care of it on our own, we have some screwed up ways of thinking. It doesn't make us holy. Okay, God don't need to hear from me. We start thinking these things. It's just a bad way of thinking that we think that we don't need to cry out to God when God is saying, just give it to me. Let me have it. Let me take it. I know it's heavy. I know it's hard. I know you're in a place where you need me. And it seems like the sooner we cry out, the better it gets. Generally, we try to take care of the problem ourselves, and we try to fix the issue with our own abilities, our own resources, our own talents, if you will, and we try to do it in our own strength. We don't usually yield to God right away. Everybody say yield. Now, the word I'm going to use this morning to focus on is yield. We need to yield to be healed. We don't usually like to yield to God right away. We like to try to do things or solve it our own way. But at the end of it, at the end of ourselves, when we come to the end of us, there he is every single time. It should be an automatic default of ours as followers of Christ is that, God, I'm yielded to you. God, I'm yielded to what you want. It generally takes some bumps on our head, if you will. It generally takes us getting to a place where we begin to understand, God, I've tried it on my own. I thought I was going the right path, but you know what I need. And he says, yes, you need to yield to be healed. Like the woman with the issue of blood. We're all familiar with this scripture, aren't we? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, you begin to think about this woman with the issue of blood. This is something that resonates with us. Why does the woman with the issue of blood, a very familiar story, why does that story resonate with us? What do you think? It's because she is the one that spent all, done all, tried all, done everything she could, but at the end of that 12 years of bleeding, that 12 years of the issue of blood, 12 years of I can't take no more, 12 years of what was going on in her life, she has spent it all. She had done everything that she thought she could personally and publicly do. It was ultimately making it worse and not better. And that's where we start to look at this beginning when we look at this issue of blood, because what she said was, if I can just get to the hem of the garment of Jesus, if I can just but yet get to him and touch the hem of the garment, I know I will be healed. This is what we are crying out today. God, we have done this. God, we have tried it all. God, I need to touch the hem of the garment today. And it says when she touched the hem of the garment, think about that. She pressed through the crowd. She pressed through the circumstances. She pressed through the hardship. She pressed through everybody saying, leave him alone. She pressed through all of that. And he says, certainly someone has touched the hem of my garment. What? There's thousands of people. How would you know that power has left your body? He says, I'm telling you, you are healed. I'm telling you today that if we will just but touch the hem of the garment today, if we'll begin to allow God to move in our lives in a way that's liberating and setting us free. Listen, I don't care what you've been labeled your whole life. I don't care that you've been hemorrhaging for 12 years. What I care about is presenting to you a gospel message that says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you will be saved. Today is the day you'll be healed. Today is the day. Ooh, that's powerful. Jesus is not always, unfortunately, Jesus is not always our first resort, when something is going on in our lives. And that's important enough to put on the board. Jesus is not always our first resort when something is going on in our lives. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It should be. It should be. But if we're going to be real about it, we sometimes want to pick up our cross and follow what we want to do. So often is that we'll walk in it for a season, we'll walk in it, and we'll begin to do whatever we think's right. And when God's telling us, I need you to yield, sometimes we turn to all kinds of stuff, unfortunately. All kinds of stuff, wrong people, places, and things. But we finally, in desperation, turn to him, and we begin to yield. At that point, it's more of a crying out, if you will. It's more of a giving in. It's more of a having mercy. It's a, God, I can't take no more, and I'm desperate. And I think when we do that parallel there with the woman with the issue of blood, I think she was finally desperate. I think I spent all my money. I done everything I can do, and I don't know what else to do, but God, I'm desperate. God, I'm desperate, and God, I need a touch from you. And God, I know I can't be healed if I don't yield. And God, I need to yield today to whatever's holding me back. God, I need to yield today to you, Father. God, I need you to touch my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. God, I need you to touch the way I think. God, I yield to you. God, have mercy on me. Like he would only help you because you're finally begging him, right? God, if I beg you enough, you'll probably help me, right? With all the stuff that goes on in the world and in the times we're in today, what goes on in our personal lives, we find it hard to yield to God. To stop and say, okay, Lord, I can't do this by myself anymore, and I need you, and I need your help. There are multiple examples of people in the scriptures I want to share with you this morning who obviously had problems in their lives, and so do we. But as they yielded more and more to his presence, as they yielded to his will being done in their life, as they yielded, he was able to work in their situations, and he got the glory for it. But look at this on the board. It was not until they reached out to him. Everybody hear me? It was not until they reached out to him. This is important. We don't want to skip past this, because it was not until they reached out to him that he was able to do something for them. But we got to reach out for the hem of the garment this morning. The woman with the issue of blood, she reached out to him. She reached out and she touched him. How about the, I've got another one down here, Matthew chapter 12, the man with the withered hand. He says, stretch it forth. And it says it was completely healed. How about the issue, the leprous men who cried out, and this is 2 Kings. Why stay here until we die, they said. I done a message on this one time. Why just stay here and die? Why not stand up for truth? Why not stand up for healing? Why not stand up for what's righteous through Christ? Think about this. All these people had issues there. These were people who, for many years, if not their whole lives, actually, struggled not only with personal and physical challenges, but also emotional wounds and scars. And one of the things I've learned in ministry over the years is this. We're all suffering and going through something. Our somethings are only different. But the truth is, we're all going through something. The social stigma of it all limited who they were and what they were capable of. All the pain, all the suffering, all the mental anguish. Until finally they cried out to God and they yielded. This is us. This is your testimony and mine. People often say, when you look at people who's been through the fight, and you guys really don't look bad for what you've been through, amen? Amen? You guys don't look nearly as bad as what you've been through. Thank you, Jesus, right? That's what I always tell people. I say, I must look pretty good because I've been through some stuff, amen? You've been through some stuff, man. I'm telling you, God brought you from it. And what I love more than anything is to see what God does for people. God loves us. One of the sisters told me when I was talking to her a few minutes ago, you know, that I made it. COVID tried to cancel me out. It tried to kill me. It tried to steal, kill, and destroy. It was real. She said, but I made it. No, but I made it. Well, it happened when she finally cried out. It happened when, God, I'm sick in body. I'm sick in spirit sometimes, Lord. But when I cry out to you, you begin to do what only you can do. Until finally they said, I can't do this by myself. I need God's help. And then that's when God shows up and God begins to work. What he needs us to do is yield so he can heal us. Sometimes we are burdened with so much we forget that God wants to lift that burden up off of us. But yet we'll put that burden in our backpack of life and we'll carry it around like we're the only one when we need to be hollering, God, have mercy on us. God, have mercy on us. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 38 through 42, I want to read this to you about Mary and Martha as they in this worship service that they're in, both of the Mary and Martha, they love Jesus. Amen. Amen. They love Jesus, but you can see a little sparring going back and forth, if you will, in this scripture. Let me read the scripture to you. Now it happened as they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. Everybody say distracted. Distracted. I love God. God, I love you. God, I love you, but I'm distracted. But Martha was distracted with just serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve you alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. He told Martha, you're busy about so many things. Mary, she's being sensitive. Everybody say sensitive. Now say it like you mean it.
Sensitive.
Yeah, now I'm sensitive. That's what my wife says, all right? Yeah. Excuse you? She said, Will is too. Yeah. But you think about this. Mary, she's being sensitive, and you are being busy. Right now is a time to be sensitive. So when you read this scripture, and this is some scripture we've talked about over and over again, but it comes down to this, is are we really sensitive to what God's trying to do for us? Are we sensitive to what God's trying to speak to us? Are we sensitive about how God wants to use us? Are we sensitive about how God wants to heal us? Are we just so busy and distracted that we can't pay attention to what's going on? Because what happens is, we talked about being busy, right? Everybody remembers what that says, right?
Yeah.
Being under Satan's yoke. Busy. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. So when someone tells you, hey, I'm so busy, you say, I'm busy. See what I'm saying? I'm distracted. I'm distracted if I'm busy. I need to focus on what matters most to Christ and what he's trying to do in my life. Are you so busy doing things for Jesus that you're not spending any time with him? Jesus was asking Martha to set some priorities here. And he was trying to let her know, we need to set priorities too. We need to come to the place where we're paying attention to the tension. Right now is a time to hear from God. We need to recognize those times in our lives when God is speaking to us, when he's trying to direct and guide our lives in a way that is honoring to him. We think of that being busy as an excuse, if you will, to not make time for God and give opportunity to speak into our lives when he wants to speak life into us. We'd rather put on a great feast for him or to make it look really good for him when all the while he just wants to sit and talk to our hearts and for just a little while recognize that we're loved by him. Amen? We wonder sometimes why he doesn't answer our prayers when we want him to. Think about that. We wonder sometimes why he doesn't answer our prayers when we want him to. We wonder sometimes why we didn't get the job we thought we should have, or our health isn't what it needs to be, or the family doesn't change when we want the family to change, and God, why am I walking at this alone? So often, that's exactly what happens to us, is that we're distracted when we need to pay attention to the tension. Many times, it's because of what James said in James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask, and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures, or your lusts, if you will. Everybody say, oh, me. I just had to throw that one in there, didn't I? Yeah, so we begin to think about that. So often we ask amiss because we'd rather have our lustful ways and thinking than what God would have us do. We don't really know what to pray for. We think we do, but sometimes they seem to be really selfish when we pray. All we are doing is responding to the circumstances of life that we are going through and the pain that we're going through at the current time. What we don't realize is that God is still working. God is still working He's working something out for us. He needs us to yield to Him. He needs us to turn to Him. And if we will yield and turn to Him, we are going in all different directions, doing all kinds of things, trying this and trying that, and even praying for the wrong things. But Jesus is saying, stop. Just stop and yield. Just go ahead and yield. If you'll just yield, if you'll stop, if you'll slow down, if you'll wait, if you'll listen, we need to spend time with Him to hear His voice. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, do you not know that to whom you present yourself, listen to this now, who you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But who do we submit ourselves to? Here's the problem for many of us. Much of the time, we just don't want to yield. We just don't want to be healed. You know, I don't know about you, but I got this example down here. I love green lights, don't you? Amen. Anybody like green lights? Yeah. Yeah, I see some of you back here saying, yeah, but I'll just let that go. Love green lights, hate red lights, right? Green means go. I like green lights. I like to go. That's what I want to do. I just want to go. But, you know, the red light means stop. And, you know, and I'll say this, the yellow light, it means hurry up. Yeah. My wife's an expert at that. Actually, it might be me. But the red light means stop. And I hate stopping. Stopping keeps me from getting where I want to go. Stopping keeps me from getting my agenda fulfilled, what I want to do when I want to do it. When you think about stopping, and I think about this often when I stop at red lights, and if you're from Springfield, you're used to red lights. People say, what do you do in your spare time? I said, well, I sat at red lights. I said, before I got saved, I'd run them. All right, because, you know, I now give up a lot of my life because I sit at the red lights like you do. But at the red lights now, I always say, instead of getting mad, I say, God, speak to me. Yeah, speak to me, because you've stopped me again. So often you'll watch at the red light as life will go by, as you'll see people blow through an intersection, as you'll see people go through, and God says, see, I was protecting you. I was stopping you. I personally like green lights. And then there are these little triangular yellow signs at certain intersections that mean yield. You think about that triangular sign. As we think about that sign that says yield, what's yield really mean anyway, right? Now, a lot of people say yield signs. Okay, what's that mean? I wonder what I was supposed to be looking for anyways, or who I was supposed to be looking out for. In fact, much of the time, we totally ignore the yield sign. Many times, we ignore the yield sign. Why? Why do we ignore it? Because we have an agenda. Because we have a direction we want to go. We have a destination that we think we have to get to. But what that yield sign is saying to the traveler is to give way. You hear me? It means to give way to the people who are coming from the other direction. This goes against our grain. Let them go first. All right? Slow down. Stop if you have to. Pull over. Even let them go instead of you. Now, that just does not sound right, does it? Everybody say amen. 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 So, you know, when you look at this and you begin to think about this, we don't like that. We don't like to get out of the way. We don't like to pull over. We don't like not to be first. We have an agenda. And we want to get there, and we want to be done. We want to get first. But we're not going to really ever let go, slow down or stop or do any of those things. We're not going to pull over, and we're definitely not going to yield to let something else get in front of us. We wonder why Jesus hasn't stepped into our situation sometimes. We wonder, don't we? Could it be that we are in too big of a hurry, trying to do the things ourselves to just yield and let Him do what He wants to do in our lives at that moment? In Revelation in chapter 3 and verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens his door, I will come in to him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. And I did a sermon on this one time. You guys remember it, I'm sure. As he said, I stand at the freaking door and I knock, and if you don't let me in, I'm going to kick the door open. I'm going to bust you in the face. That's not the God we serve. But that's how we think all the time, because we don't want to yield to the presence of God. And he's saying, I understand. I'm a gentleman. I'm standing and knock. And if you just open the door, it's not about how good or how smart or nothing that we are. It's about how good he is. It's about what he wants is your presence. He wants to heal your body. He wants to deliver you. He cares about you. He cares about you. How many of us can say that we truly feel that God has come into our situation, that his presence can be felt in everything that we're going through, that his spirit is operating in the situations of our homes and of our lives today? How many of us can really say, yeah, God's present in my life today, and no matter what, God, I believe. His spirit wants to work in our lives. Contrary to our beliefs often is this, is that God cares, and he does want to work. Isaiah chapter 43. He said in the latter part of Isaiah 43:13, indeed, before the day was, I am he. I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? That's powerful, isn't it? So no matter what we think, when we yield to him, we open up a realm that's not available to most people. It's not even available to most people because it's only open to those who yield to him. The question is, do you want to yield to him? Are you willing to get out of the way, move over, let him go first, do what he's supposed to do? Are you willing to do the yield part? Those that open the door, those who cry out, those who are willing to do whatever he says to do, to be in his will. Are you willing to allow God to work in your life? Are you willing to move over? Are you willing to allow God to be first? It's really, think about this, only open to those who yield themselves. We can often talk about it, but our lives, when it's yielded to Christ, there's no question about it. There's no question at all when your life is completely yielded to him. That's why prayer is so important, because it opens the lines of communication to God. Our prayer needs to be more than, hey, God, I need you. Hey, God, can you help me? It needs to be more than some last-minute desperate cry. And it's not just something that we do when something terrible is going on in our lives. It's something that we do throughout the day. It's something that we do because the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He hates our guts. And we know that we need Christ, and we know that there's a comma, and he said, I've came so you could have a life of abundance. It doesn't matter what the devil says. If we could just but yield, we can yield to what God has for us. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, the parable of the persistent widow. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, listen to this, that those lines of communication with God always be open. At all times, don't allow circumstances to keep you from communicating with him. Sometimes all of this stuff called life can really discourage us and cause us to doubt and to wonder. But in the middle of all that doubting, we must yield. We must yield. We need to come to a place of yielding, saying, I give to the Lord. I surrender to the Lord. Not allowing our flesh to get in the way of what God is trying to do. Listen, we talk about it all the time, right? Yeah. The flesh, the chihuahua, as we talk about. The one that annoying, never shutting up. We got to walk by the Spirit, amen? We walk by the Spirit. In the middle of that doubting, we must yield. We must give in to what God has for us, not allowing our flesh to get in the way of what God is trying to do. He is trying to work in each of our lives, including this morning. He is trying to work out the complexities of it all. It seems like it's inevitable. It seems like you're crashing again. It seems like the same thing again and again. He's trying to help us find our way. He's trying to heal us, if you will. He's trying to minister to us. He's trying to guide us and help us become closer to Him. The question is, are we willing to yield? Are you really willing to yield? I thought about this, and in closing this morning, I thought about this very message today and the importance. It takes us yielding to Him and allowing Him to work in our lives. Do you hear me? Now, I spoke the last 35 minutes or so about yielding. And the question is today, who needs to yield? And what does yield look like? Yield means get out of the way. We understand green lights. We understand red lights. We even understand the yellow light means hurry up. But what we need to understand is that yield sign. Today, many of you have come in here, and you've come in here broken. You've come in here with generational curses. You've come in here with something that you come every single week. You got rid of 95%, 99%, 99.5%. But there's one thing that you need to yield today. You know what it is? Of course you do. Whatever it is you've held on to, whatever it is that you said, you know, if I could just let that go, think about that. That's how it is, right? So often we don't want to yield, but there's that one thing holding us back and holding us down and never allowing us to move to the next level. Do you really want to yield today? Y'all sleeping or what? Somebody said, yeah, thank you for the truth. Are you ready to yield this morning?
Yes.
Thank you. It takes us yielding to Him and allowing Him to work, giving in and letting go. When we want to fight to hang on to things that prevent us from fulfilling His purpose in our lives, He has an incredible purpose for you today, and you need to accept your purpose in Christ. There does need to come a point when we say, I give this to you, God, and I'm not picking it up no more. I'm not going to do it no more. I can't. I'm yielding today, God. There has to come a point where we say, I can't fight this battle any longer, Lord, and I need you to fight the battle for me. This battle belongs to you, God. I need to yield. And we give it to Him. It might be a fearful thing. But when we give it to Him, when we give it to Him, we put it in the hands of a jealous God. We put it in the hands of an angry God. We put it in the hands of a loving God. We put it in the hands of a God who is touched by the feelings of our infirmities, a God who is compassionate, a God who is our Heavenly Father, a God who would give His own life so that we could have a relationship and a salvation with Him that's personal and private and individually, that He would touch us and heal us, that He would care so much about me that He numbered the hairs on my head, that He loves everything about me, even when I don't love me. Even when I didn't feel like I was worthy, He said, you are worthy. Even when I was lost and bound up in addiction, and He said, I will deliver you and I will set you free. Even when the rest of the world begins to tell you, no, you're no good and you'll never amount to nothing, my God said, I love you and I would die for you again and again and again. I love you. Yes, it's our God. This God that we serve, He is well able. He is well able to help us. Through our storms of life, He's able to calm the seas when we're on it. And we know that on the rough seas, good sailors are made. He's able to say, peace be still to our storms. Yeah, the storms are real, but He can speak peace to your storm. He's waiting for someone to say, I need your help, Lord. I can't do this on my own anymore. He's waiting for us to yield today. This morning, as the praise and worship team makes their way up, I just want to remind you this morning that God wants us to yield to be healed. He wants us to yield to be healed. If you stand over the house this morning in closing, I want to drive this point home this morning is this, is that we did yield our salvation when we received Christ. But at some point, we start putting up the caution lights and we start going ahead and doing things our own way. And it's funny because we get off track. We get sidetracked, if you will. And then we forget that we're born again, that we're delivered, that we're set free, that we're children of the King, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are somebody in Christ. Somehow we begin to buy the bait of Satan and think that we don't deserve to be delivered. We don't deserve to be healed. We don't deserve to be set free. That's not true. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you is that we're mistakers in need of an amazing grace that only comes from our Savior Jesus Christ. And when you begin to reassign yourself to the value of Christ that's in you, when you begin to know that He is your way, He is your truth, and He is your life, when you begin to really, really sell out, when you really begin to ask God, God, I need you, He is always here. This morning, He's waiting for us to yield. We're going to open the altar up this morning. We're going to ask you, come up and yield this morning. It's nobody's business what you're going through. That's yours and God's. The altar's open. We're going to give you a chance to come up, and we want you to just praise God with us. Remember Mary and Martha, right? They both love God, but is our priorities right? Is our priorities right? That's the question we must ask this morning.